Welcome to History and D&D. In the last episode, I discussed the changes in mainstream culture since the 70s and the culture of gaming. I discussed how our morphing culture affected D&D players and how the culture around the game grew and shifted. Today, I'll talk about the things that have influenced how I run the game and make some recommendations. The following are some podcasts that I listen to. Dragon Talk, the official D&D podcast. They interview former employees and creators of D&D. They also interview current community leaders. They announce upcoming events and products. They have segments by the current creators of 5e that detail all aspects of the game, from rules, monsters, worlds, and the many planes of existence. I've listened to most of the episodes, and they're all informative. And they're a good jumping-off point if you're looking to find other creators outside of Wizards, such as streamers and other product creators, because they do interview other people that make products that interface with Dungeons & Dragons, and they interview quite a few of the Twitch streamers. The Manifest Zone covers the politics, history, and geography of the Eberron campaign setting with Keith Baker, the creator, and his compatriots. It's the deepest dive of a campaign setting I've found. I've listened to every episode because I've always been curious about Eberron, and not having played 3rd or 4th edition, I had little exposure to it except for Dungeons & Dragons Online. But I've always really liked the pulp noir feel to it and the interesting use of magic. Many Twitch streams are also found in podcast form. If you want a D&D campaign to listen to while on a long drive or while working, Critical Role, Acquisitions Incorporated, and The Chain are all on offer. But you should check out a few different ones to find the one that entertains you. A quick Google search of D&D stream podcast is a good jumping off point, and you'll probably find quite a few best of lists. If you don't already listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, you should. While not in any way about Dungeons & Dragons, it is a very deep look into history from various perspectives. The way he lays out each podcast is mesmerizing, and the stories he tells can be adapted to your campaign. I've only read a few nonfiction books about D&D, as there aren't that many. There's only a couple I'd recommend. Empire of Imagination and Art and Arcana are two books by Michael Whitmer. They're great books covering similar time periods with a different perspective. The first follows the travails of Gary Gygax and the early history of the game. The second follows the product line through its history and the evolution of its art. Of Dice and Men by David M. Ewalt covers the history of the game and the people that play it. At times it meanders and is dry, but contains some useful information. I'm always reading books about history, and there's no end to what's available. They're extremely useful resources for ideas to add to your campaign. The Great Courses is a collection of history lectures available through their website and also Audible. I'm planning future podcasts where I outline a historical event and discuss how it can be adapted to a campaign. Fantasy books are my jam. Now that I think about it, I don't know what my peanut butter and bread are. But here are some great jams. Dragonlance by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. The first official D&D series of novels. And they were a bit of a multimedia project within TSR. They were meant to sell a new campaign focusing on dragons that grew to have a life of its own. There's around 200 novels. I've read almost all of them. But Chronicles, the first trilogy, and Legends, the follow-up, are my favorites. They're among the finest fantasy you can find. Homeland by R.A. Salvatore is a prequel to the Icewind Dale trilogy and starts off the chronological stories of Drizzt Do'Urden. He might be the single most famous and well-known character in D&D, and is featured in over 30 novels. I didn't like him at first, but my friend Chad loved his books, so this year I started back at the beginning and plan to give him his fair shake. So far, it's not bad. A Game of Thrones. George R.R. Martin is a pioneer in bringing fantasy to the mainstream. It's steeped in politics and interpersonal conflict. It and the TV show it spawned are beloved by many. I assume most of you have watched it. I love the first three books and the first seven seasons of the show. The Way of Kings by Brandon Sanderson. This author completed the Wheel of Time series when its creator, Robert Jordan, died. Jordan was the original George R. R. Martin in the sense that he had big, sprawling books that took forever to come out. The fact that Sanderson completed the series so effortlessly is a testament in itself. His Stormlight Archive, which Way of Kings is the first book in, is pretty amazing. Prior to reading that book, I'd completed the Warded Man series, thinking it was the best fantasy I'd read since Game of Thrones, only to be shocked that Sanderson outdid it. The Warded Man by Peter V. Brett is just all kinds of amazing. Great world building and crazy tension are tempered by human drive and the desire to survive. This author excels at creating great character after great character and drives their interactions in a believable way. Plus, a rarity in the fantasy genre, the series has been finished. Magician, Apprentice by Raymond E. Feist. This book begins my friend Sean's favorite series of books. It's pretty good, and Feist is clearly influenced by D&D. Dragon Prince by Melanie Ron. When I read this in the 90s, it quickly became my favorite fantasy of all time. At least until I listened to Warded Man and Way of Kings. I still love this series, and have read both trilogies many times over. It's also a completed series. Dragonwing by Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. Another completed series, and a huge win for the aforementioned authors of Dragonlance. Everything about this series is cool, and they bent the genre in an awesome direction. There's so much building tension and mystery, followed by a bombastic, satisfying conclusion. The MCU, with Endgame as its conclusion, now reminds me of this series. The Dying Earth by Jack Vance is a pretty good standalone book. It's probably technically sci-fi, but its system of lost science as magic and how it's used is the basis for D&D magic, as stated by Gary Gygax many times. The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien are the elephants in the room of any discussion of fantasy, including D&D. It was more apparent how much D&D was based on Tolkien's work in the early days of the game, but the overt references got scrubbed away after a lawsuit by Tolkien's estate. You can still see how closely related they were by reading the earliest issues of Dragon magazine. Many creators and players in those early days assumed they were playing in Middle-earth. I liked The Hobbit when I was young, but was never a fan of Lord of the Rings until the movies. I watched quite a few YouTube channels. Here are some of my go-tos. Matt Colville's channel really started to take off in 2016 with his Running the Game series. Many people gravitated towards him because he was offering something of value to the community. His videos help new players understand that they could be dungeon masters and run the game. Also, current DMs, like myself, benefited from many of his insights. But helping create new DMs was a worthy contribution, as the numbers of players vastly outweighs the number of dungeon masters, and this fact has likely held back many new players. He was rewarded by the community he helped grow when he launched a Kickstarter for a passion project called Strongholds and Streaming, and it blew past his expectations, raising $2.5 million. Nerdarchy is a collection of dungeon masters and players from the New Jersey area who have been discussing storytelling, world building, game mechanics, game master, and player tips for years. I started watching them around the time I got back into 5th edition. There's a YouTube channel, but also there's a website. And they put out a lot of different products that you might find useful. Runehammer goes on a deep dive of dungeon craft. He's a very experienced DM, and you can tell that by the thoughts he shares on weaving encounters, stories, and settings. WebDM consists of two DMs who use an interview format to get across important concepts in the game in a fun way, allowing the dungeon master to improve their game. Taking 20 discusses topics about various player and DM concerns in a very straightforward manner. I have to mention Draven Swiftbow, as he's a fellow Canadian. He's a little less polished than the rest, but he's enthusiastic about the game and the products he reviews, and he appears to share his honest opinion. I don't actually watch many Twitch or live streams, because it's not usually my cup of tea. I have checked out quite a few of them, but went on to other things. It's a new and growing trend, so lots of people have wanted something like this. At the very least, they help people who've never played or only recently started understand how the game works. Critical Role may not have started all this streaming, but they are the 800-pound beholder in the room. They've really brought a lot of mainstream attention to the game, along with many others. but their gaze is farther reaching than the many others. Plus, fans of the stream are hooked. I've watched a couple of episodes, and if I was into streaming D&D games, I'd stick around. It's quite entertaining. MCDM, The Chain, is a stream by Matt Colville, who I spoke about earlier. He started this stream after his Kickstarter campaign. I watched the first few episodes, and it was the best stream I'd watched or listened to up until that point. But like I said, I don't continue to watch a lot of these D&D live streams. The main reason is time. Not that they're not entertaining. I just wish I had the time for them. As I've said, I've checked out quite a few of them, and there are many others, such as Acquisitions Incorporated, Force Grey, Dragon Friends, High Rollers, Dice Camera Action, Maze Arcana, Beyond Heroes, Silver and Steel, and that's just a few of them. You can Google D&D live stream, and you'll probably find a lot of best of lists, and you'll be able to find something that suits you. Of course, there are a lot of resources out on the internet. Some of my go-to websites include the following. D&D Beyond is the official online toolset for Dungeons & Dragons. It's run by a company called Curse, a company running a network of gaming websites. It was acquired in 2016 by Amazon through its subsidiary, Twinch Interactive, and later sold to Fandom Inc. They launched the D&D Beyond website in 2017. The website slowly added features like a character builder, combat tracker, encounter builder, a phone app, various extensions, and bots. They also sell content from the compendiums and ventures released by Wizards. You can buy what's called the Legendary Bundle, which includes every 5th edition book for a discount. In addition, you can buy individual books or just parts of them. It's a clever system and it works like this. Let's say you want to create an arcane archer on the website. At this point, all you have is the free basic rules. You can pay $1.99 for the Arcane Archer class from Xanathar's Guide instead of buying the whole book. If later you want to unlock all the content from that book, it's now discounted by the exact amount you already paid for the Arcane Archer. This means you don't get dinged twice for the same content. Now, there's been this misconception from the very beginning of this website. Many players of the game are under the impression that this is a website run by Wizards of the Coast. It's not. Curse has simply licensed the right to the D&D content. This leads to some people believing they are paying twice for books they already own. They own physical books, but Curse didn't sell them those books. Wizards did. Curse makes no money from the sale of physical books. They only make money from subscriptions and D&D online content. Many players want to get the online content for free or for a massive discount because they already have the books. Curse is obligated to sell the content at a minimum MSRP due to agreements made by Wizards with other retailers. They are not legally allowed to sell the content for less, nor would they, because they'd be making no money or taking a loss. They're operating a business for profit, and Wizards sold the rights to this, signaling they have no wish to get involved in this particular business model. So basically, if Curse was unable to make profit from this, they wouldn't make online content that I find very convenient, and neither would Wizards. And of course, just like the physical books, they are a luxury, and if someone thinks they don't want to spend money on them, no one's forcing them to. From my perspective, the cost of the content on D&D Beyond is worth it, especially if they develop a virtual tabletop and a robust app, and the subscriptions, which allow you to share your content with your players, are a really good deal. This means one group of 2 to 6 players can all share the cost if they want to, making it cheaper per person. I find it very interesting that D&D Beyond has slowly rolled out new features and upgrades consistently. They seem to have a plan to add functionality in a quality-driven way to avoid errors. Roll20 is a virtual tabletop, much like another software-driven program called Fantasy Grounds. It allows players to connect via voice and video. It offers the ability to connect character sheets to virtual dice, so you click a weapon, skill, spell, etc., and it rolls the dice and calculates for you. It also puts a description in the chat. It has the ability to place a picture of a map, like a dungeon level, forest, town, or whatever, and you can place tokens representing characters, monsters, and NPCs. It basically automates a lot of the work a dungeon master does in the background of a game. I still prefer a real table, but Roll20 has allowed me to run one of my most successful campaigns. My friends Chris, Sean, and even Chad have been part of a 2-year campaign I homebrewed on Roll20 because we lived in different regions and countries. Geek & Sundry is a multimedia production company started by actress Felicia Day. She's been in two of my favorite shows, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Supernatural. She started a YouTube channel in 2012 and later a website, among other things, to connect various geeky topics and hobbies and give them a platform. Critical Role started through Geek & Sundry. It streams games and provides a spotlight on various subjects through articles and videos. The Goblinist is a simple website that provides random encounters with a few simple clicks. I use it all the time. World Anvil provides world builder and campaign manager tools. It looks pretty comprehensive, but I haven't used it yet. Check it out to see if it can help you organize your game. Nonjon is a website providing various random generators. If you need quickly generated information, like names, treasure, demographics, taverns, dungeons, and even maps, it's all there. The Home Brewery generates 5e homebrews in a format that resembles authentic documents from the game. It looks really cool. Tabletop Audio provides ambient music for your game sessions. It has an easy-to-use interface to help you find something that suits the mood in a given circumstance. In the next episode, I'll discuss big campaigns and how the desire to run them is the same sentiment that led to MMOs. This has been History and D&D, Haddad, and I hope your day is free of thunderbolts.